Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The Institute of Supply Management's Manufacturing Index for July came in at 48, which is the fastest pace of contraction in 9 months. The ISM Services Index came in at 50.1, just barely in expansion territory, and down from June's reading of 50.8. But the prices paid component soared to 69.9, the highest level since October of 2022. And the employment component of this index, which is the ISM services, the largest part of the economy, was contracting at a faster rate, 46.4, down from 47.2 in the previous month. And to that point about the labor market weakening, initial jobless claims rose last week to 226,000, up from 219,000. But continuing claims increased to 1.97 million, up from just, well, not just, but up from 1.95 million in the previous week. So those individuals who are collecting unemployment insurance, which is the continuing claims, are at the highest level since 2021. There's a word for this kind of economic data. The word is stagflation, slowing growth and rising inflation. The response from the administration to this dichotomy, this conflicting data where the economy is sort of struggling and yet we see prices rising, is to slash interest rates aggressively, with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent calling for an emergency 50 basis point cut of the Fed funds rate this September to kick off the next money printing cycle and interest rate falsification cycle. Then he wants rates to be cut by 150 to 175 basis points after that. And while this is, you know, this current slashing of interest rates is supposedly going on, he is in full force search for the next Fed chair come May of next year, him and the administration. The main qualification for him or her, the next Fed chair, will be their willingness to crush the purchasing power of the dollar further and at a faster rate in favor of boosting asset prices farther into the thermosphere. The salient reason for the government's desire for an inappropriate, completely inappropriate rate cutting cycle at this time is to bring down the rate on T-bills, which is where most of the Treasury debt is financed. The national debt just jumped over $37 trillion for the first time in history last week. U.S. debt on the national level is up $780 billion since the debt ceiling was raised as part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. The U.S. federal debt is up $14 trillion since COVID, 2020. And we're spending $3 billion each day just on interest payments alone. And despite all the talk about revenue pouring into the coffers of the Treasury from all these tariffs we're collecting, know this, the deficit for July was a whopping $291 billion. That is the second largest deficit for the month of July in U.S. history. The U.S. is putting tariffs on any nation that purchases Russian oil. Currently, China and India are purchasing almost all of Russia's oil production. If Russia cannot sell its oil to the rest of the world, the price of oil could skyrocket towards $100 a barrel, my opinion. And that means inflation could rise significantly higher over the next few months, not only because of that spike in energy, but because of the tariffs just starting to kick in. There are many narratives used by those talking heads of major Wall Street banks to justify the current condition of the massive equity bubble. One such narrative deployed this time around is that, well, if you take out all of the big tech stocks in the index, the S&P 500 is only slightly overvalued. So what they're saying is, what they want you to believe is if you take out every stock that's in a bubble, those Mag 7 stocks, There is no bubble. And that is supposed to placate the fact that the value of the stocks relative to the underlying economy is now at a record high. The valuation of stocks relative to underlying GDP growth is at a record high. So let's look at the facts. Facts. The overall S&P 500 is currently trading at 22 times forward earnings, not trailing, forward fantasy earnings. So I'm giving Wall Street their fantasy. It's trading at 22 times next year's earnings. The average forward earnings is 17 times. The top 10 stocks, which are those, you know, tech stocks that are supposed to be taking out of the calculation, they're trading at 29 times earnings, while the average of the top 10 stocks has been under 21 since 1996. The remaining 490 stocks that are supposedly fair valued and a big buy, being buying opportunity right now, are trading at 21 times earnings, but the average for those stocks is 17. The conclusion is clear. The overall index is in a bubble. The tech stocks in the index are in a bubble. And the remaining 490 stocks are in a bubble as well. Those are just the facts. Apparently, the overvaluation of equities has not fazed those in charge of the fractional reserve system. Bubbles need fuel to continue blowing up, and that's coming with alacrity from the banking system, both the Federal Reserve and private banking system. According to Mike Zicardi, CFA, Wall Street banks are buying back stocks at a record pace, $1 trillion worth of buybacks in 2025. Bento Portfolio Strategies is one of the few money managers that has clearly identified, clearly understands, no, unabashedly admits that this is a bubble, and that is why we're fully prepared to protect and profit from its demise, its eventual reconciliation. The underlying structure of this market and economy are both fragile and they're eroding. According to SocGen, Societe Generale, 52% of the S&P 500 companies are now having declining profit margins. That's as of Q2. That is before tariffs hit. It's a third quarter phenomenon. The truth is we have a middle class that has been eviscerated already by inflation, and that is leading to weakening GDP growth, which is causing corporate earnings growth to slow amidst eroding profit margins. And inflation is the pin that's going to pop this bubble, and the implosion will begin in the credit markets. I mean, the conditions are all there. Core consumer price inflation, which removes the volatile food and energy components, leapt over the 3% threshold in July. Core prices are up 3.1% year over year. This figure was up from the 2.8% reading in May and up from the 2.9% in June. So it went from June 2.9% to 3.1% on core CPI. But somehow this information was spun by the mainstream financial media as a great inflation report that supposedly cemented in a rate cut from the Fed's September meeting, upcoming September meeting. Here are some of the things that were going up in price in the July inflation report. Utilities up 13.8% year over year. Energy 7.2%. Hospital services 5.8%. And car insurance up 5.3%. By the way, these things have nothing to do with tariffs. Tariffs are on electronics and toys and furniture, etc. All kinds of imported goods. And these types of goods are quiescent in the report, but they're going up in the next few months. Big league. The conclusion is clear. The inflation is going higher, and a major function of the direction of long-term borrowing costs is the future direction of inflation. There are two things that can and most likely will derail this historic and monumental equity rally. Record bubble. Unabashedly so. I'm avowing it. I'm saying it. I've been saying it for a few years now since COVID has broken out. This is the most overvalued market in history. The first scenario for which will onset reality is the labor market and the economy continue to deteriorate, which they are, and that creates a significant growth scare. And in the context of that growth scare, The Fed is unable to lower rates enough to boost consumption due to the persistent and rising rate of inflation. Stocks then will hit an air pocket between now and when they replace Jerome Powell in May of 2026. As the Fed chair currently is still at the helm until then. And he refuses to give Wall Street rate cuts needed due to rising inflation. Now, you have a faltering economy without the hope of rate cuts significantly will submarine the asset bubbles. That's scenario one. That's an unlikely scenario, by the way, but it's a scenario that happened. The second and more likely scenario is the Fed significantly lowers rates by 175 basis points relatively soon as Treasury Secretary so desires, overlooking inflation. And as a direct result of that, longer-term interest rates spike, sending mortgage rates up, car loans up, student loans up, and corporate borrowing costs surging. The result is the same. The function is the same as the first scenario. The output is this: asset prices crumble under the weight of, in this case, soaring interest rates. Our inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model is built to identify when the credit markets falter and to react proactively before the carnage gets really going. In the meantime, we remain net long in the portfolio, but both hands are firmly on the wheel.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.